Hello everybody, my name is Owen, and this is Owen's Gadget Talk for Thursday, 15th of June, 2023. In this week's episode, it's going to be a slow one, but we'll be talking about everything from a new leak of the OnePlus Nord 3 all the way down to Reddit experiencing a blackout due to its controversial API plans and much, much more. So without further ado, let's get rolling, shall we? So in this past week, if you've went to Reddit, you probably have noticed a lot of popular subreddits have kind of been gone dark. There's not been any activity or post. If you click on their subreddit, it says private, so it's been set to private, so you can't access anything off it. And that's because most or vast majority of popular subreddits have gone on a bit of a blackout to protest the controversial API changes. Now, for a little bit of context, Reddit's a very popular online forum. People discuss all kinds of topics. There's communities for everything from pictures of nature all the way down to popular sports and hobbies like technology and gaming and much, much more. It's really a place where nerds and, again, fans can kind of come together and talk about a whole bunch of topics. And I also have been a regular user of Reddit for many, many years. And until recently, Reddit had quite open API access, which means if you wanted to get data off subreddits or run a third-party client, you're most welcome to do that, and again, it's free and it's unrestricted. But obviously Reddit is a company, it's a corporation, it wants to make money, and it's losing money off the fact that there are entire AI chatbots and generative AI algorithms that, again, build up the algorithms by scraping web data from all of Reddit, including all the subreddits, and again, places like r-askreddit. And of course, the responses people give onto those subreddits are good fodder for algorithms and, again, generative AI platforms like ChatGPT and much, much more. But now, obviously, Reddit's realized that there's a lot of money to be had and made from offering access to this information, and so they've basically announced that they're introducing paid APIs. So for context, again, when it launches, purportedly for every 1,000 API calls, you'll have to pay 24 cents pretty much, or for each user that's less than $1 a month. Now, it's caused a fair bit of issues for third-party clients specifically, because they're, for a lot of people, they're primary way to access Reddit on their smartphone and tablet, and their mobile apps are quite reliable compared to the official Reddit client. And the API changes kind of mean that these third-party clients would literally be paying ridiculous sums of money. For context, one of the most popular iOS Reddit apps, Apollo, claims the developer Christian Selig claims that the app would end up, he would have to pay Reddit over $20 million a year, again, based on calculations from current users, and he'd literally be losing money, because a lot of people who use Apollo have kind of prepaid for their subscriptions and stuff like that, and the API changes mean that he's literally going to be losing money trying to run and, again, give users access to Reddit, so that's pretty interesting. Reddit's management team and CEO made a decision to launch paid API platforms, or again, launch paid APIs. But again, it's not gone down very well with lots of Reddit users, specifically a lot of people who use Reddit through third-party apps like Apollo and Reddit is Fun and much, much more. There was like one or two who were like, well, we're going to get through this and it won't be a difficulty. But of course, the problem really will be the third-party apps will lose money trying to offer a third-party Reddit app in the process. And so given that, it's caused a lot of anger amongst the entire user base, and that's kind of meant that we've gotten initially a 48-hour blackout early on Monday, where lots of popular subreddits that I mentioned earlier have gone dark. But now, given that it's not made and has not really moved a needle in Reddit's management, it's now an indefinite blackout, and it'll just kind of go on until, of course, Steve Hoffman and his team sort of reverse the changes, or do go back and sort of implement a different solution to this whole chaos, let's just say that. So that's the interesting aspect. And also, weirdly enough, Reddit CEO kind of went on to state that this shall pass, which is quite Quite in poor taste, let's just say. That's kind of like expecting people to sort of side over this when in reality Reddit users are very active and passionate, and they're not going to let this slide, and it'll kind of be this bruise in their memory. It'll be this thing that is left behind like a imprint, you know. It'll be something, it'll be a horror sort of that's left behind. It's basically something that'll haunt people, you know, haunt users in the future. They decided to rip a lot of money from third-party apps and developers who have created useful tools for the community to again consume more of Reddit, or else if they use the official app, it'd be buggy and inconvenient. But yeah, one thing I'd say is that the Reddit CEO and his team specifically have bottled this. They have made a horrible mistake by really just quickly pushing out this paid API plans and changes. In my own humble opinion, they should have given the developers a fair bit of time, maybe, you know, per industry standard, like 90 days or at least like 6 months to get their house in order, let's just say that. And another one is they should have just offered different API plans or different sorts of models, kind of, for different kinds of users and developers. Because these API, obviously, these new API charges are aimed at those who do web scrape, who do data scraping, and again are using their data for AI. And they should have different pricing models per that, and not try to sort of overcharge those who want to just create a third-party client or an extension for Reddit. So honestly, they should have handled it a little better, and I do hope they walk back on these potential moves. They should have different API models for different kinds of use cases because it's such a popular platform. And yeah, and then probably I think honestly the current CEO of Reddit should just kind of resign because he really bottled it and did a very poor job, in my own opinion. Kind of a poor case. I think it's going to be a case study of poor product management in the future, of how to literally, along with Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter, of how to sort of poorly manage a popular online platform. So yeah, it's a very interesting situation, and I really do hope that they do walk back and again listen to the community for once in this regard. Until then, I wouldn't be using Reddit, to be fair, until they make some reversions or changes, or really kind of change some things, including not charging, or at least not charging way too much money for third-party developers who want to offer third-party clients or apps of Reddit that access the platform pretty much, but not charge them the rates they're having. This one's basically for those who are scraping data or are getting data for chatbots, and they should be charged differently. And until then, I wouldn't be touching Reddit, to be fair, unless I really have to. But yeah, I do hope they change a thing or two, because this has been a terrible mistake in a way. Right, let's talk briefly about the Apple Vision Pro, Apple's foray into mixed reality, which has really been the talk of town for the past week since its debut at the WWDC keynote. For its unique design to the outrageous price tag of $3,499, it has really made quite the impression on everybody. And now you're probably wondering what's next for Apple in this space. The price tag has gotten its fair share of critique, fairly, to be honest, even if you compare it to rivaling headsets, or as Apple claims, having a big screen OLED TV, Dolby Atmos surround sound system, and a Mac. But there is a good reason why Apple has decided to launch a high-end headset north of $3,000. It's designed for enthusiasts and developers who are going to be getting this bleeding-edge device to retest the waters, create content, experiences, and apps. And to be fair, this point has some merit. If you think about it in that context, I mean, it's kind of a developer kit from starting out and a bit of a thing to test the waters. Okay. But now, Bloomberg's Mark Gurman has written in his newsletter, which you definitely should check out if you have the time, that Apple is, after all, going to be making a more affordable headset. Although it's just a few years away, the regular Apple Vision headset will come with lower res screens, a simple headband, and no built-in spatial speakers. You know, those little thing that you have it around, is so bone conduction speakers that are going to come on the Pro. Instead, you'll have to use like AirPods. You're probably wondering about the other fancier features. According to Garmin Coat, the external screen owns eyesight to show a wearer's eyes, as well as the eye and hand tracking system are as core to the Apple Vision as a touchscreen is to an iPhone. I would expect a cheaper model to keep those features. Another thing Garmin touched on was how Apple meticulously demonstrated and talked in its keynote about the Vision Pro, going as far as to not show Cook or others really wearing the headset. In fact, the only footage we have of someone actually wearing the Vision Pro in real life is a quick clip of a morning show's host using it in a supervised demo for like a news segment. That's interesting though. And this was, but as I said, anyways, I digress from here. Cook and again other execs were not seen wearing the headset because apparently this was to prevent memes and a lot of ridicule from popping up online. So it kind of seems like Apple has really pulled all the stops. But pretty much, it's only a matter of time till we see a regular model for the masses. I think Garmin is spot on. It's not really a rumor per se. It's just an eventuality. It's a question of if not when, in a way. I believe, in my own opinion, that eventually Apple will launch something like the Vision headset. Not a Vision Pro, but a regular Vision headset by 2027. And it'll be out of necessity, given that they've captured the imagination of the public in a way that their rivals have failed to do so. And also, they've created an intuitive OS in Vision OS, along with a wide range of features and experiences from freeform all the way to 3D spatial programming for Apple TV+. It wouldn't make financial or market sense to gatekeep all this to just early adopters and nerds, and they've invested a lot of money into this. Apparently, I think over $1 billion has gone into, apparently, I've heard this from people, from sources, and, you know, from folks on Twitter, that Apple spent like nearly $1 billion on this. So in a way, they have to eventually create a non-pro variant to reach it out, to put it out to more and more, put it in the hands of more and more people. But yeah, in a way, Tim Cook and his team have one shot at changing the destiny of this Cupertino giant, and well, they'll need to hit a home run on this one. Moving on, while we wait for the launch early next year, this popped up out of the blue earlier this week. Apple fans in China might have to wait a little bit longer, as apparently Huawei has the trademark for the term Vision Pro to use for their line of smart TVs, VR headsets, and much, much more. The networking giant has the trademark valid until 27th of November 2031. That's many years away from now. A fairly long time, but this honestly shouldn't be a big deal breaker for Apple, as they could theoretically, if they want to, register the full product name Apple Vision or Apple Vision Pro as a trademark in the Chinese market or with the relevant authorities. So this honestly is a non-issue if you look at it that way. So in the previous segment, there was some vacuum noise in the background. So if you heard that, I sincerely apologize. That's background noise and I cannot control that. But yeah, anyways, another month and we've got another Pixel feature drop. Google has added a ton of fixes and new features to Pixel devices that will roll out later this month or hopefully throughout June. To start with the Pixel smartphones, you can ask Google Assistant to start a safety check for 30 minutes. Along with that, crash detection will also share your location and call status with your emergency contacts on top of calling emergency services. You can shoot macro focus videos on your Pixel 7 Pro. Start a 3 or 10 second timer to shoot a picture with your palm. Set a wallpaper to either a 3D depth photo like it is on the iPhone, so if you move it around you could see like the details sort of separate, or set it to an emoji like they're showing it off at Google I/O. Export your recording transcripts text to Google Docs. Control your smart home gear easily from your lock screen from swiping up with this update. Improved haptic feedback for Pixel 6a and 7a, and finally improved adaptive charging. That's what you'll get on the Pixel phones. Moving on to the Pixel Watch. As for the Pixel Watch, you can now track and check your blood oxygen levels, which is going to be a little bit of a big deal for certain fitness geeks. You can get notifications if you get an irregular heart rate, if it's too high or too low. Improved Spotify app and the ability to automatically pause your workouts. And this is some of the software features. Now, Google also showed off a new sort of accessory for the Pixel Watch. So if you ever wanted your Pixel Watch to feel like the Tissot PRX or one of those stainless steel watches, now you can with Google's like metal link strap. For $200, you can turn your Pixel Watch into a steel sports watch, and it comes in brushed silver or matte black. Pretty cool if you think about it. Alright, on to some smartphone scoops and leaks, as I'll call it. Firstly, we've gotten press render leaks of the OnePlus Nord 3. According to VinFuture, the Nord 3 is going to be OnePlus's mid-range offering for the European market, but from the renders, it almost looks like a rebadged OnePlus Ace 2V, featuring a 6.74-inch AMOLED display, the Dimensity 9000 chip, up to 16GB of RAM and 256GB of storage, a 5000mAh battery, 80W fast charging, along with a 50-megapixel main and an 8-megapixel ultra-wide-angle camera on the back. There was no information on pricing, but if I were to guess based on specs, it could be priced around the 350 to 500 euro range, competing with the likes of the Pixel 7a and the Galaxy A54 5G. Just ahead, heads up, if you live in Germany, you won't be able to buy the Nord 3 apparently because of the patent dispute between Nokia and Oppo. So, pretty interesting nonetheless. Let's talk about Samsung Galaxy primarily, because Samsung is expected to reveal the Galaxy Z Flip 5 and Fold 5 later next month, and we're getting more details about what we could be getting on these new foldables. One scoop is that we could be getting Google Apps optimized for the Z Flip 5's large outer display. Expect Google Maps, YouTube, and Google Messages to be available on the outer display, according to Sam Mobile. This is oddly similar to what Motorola has done on the new 2023 Razr. Moving on, Sam Mobile apparently also has got more details about the S23 FE. Firstly, the phone apparently is launching later this summer with wider availability by the end of this year. This is on top of the fact that the S23 FE will feature an Exynos 2200 chip in all regions, not just Europe, which is an interesting choice for a phone that sits between the A53 and 73 and the base spec S23. Another scoop is that the S23 FE will have a 50 megapixel main rear camera, 228 to 256GB of storage, equally 68GB of RAM, and a 4500mAh battery with 25 watts of fast charging. To be honest, I'm really excited for this S23 FE. Could be my go-to phone if it does launch, hopefully. Hopefully Samsung does show it off and launch it in various markets, because this could be the phone to get. We're already halfway through June, but we've got two new Android phones that'll be launching fairly soon. First up is the Asus Zenfone 10, which will be revealed in a live stream on June 29th, so that's in a fortnight's time. The Zenfone 10 is expected to have a compact 5.8-inch display, the Snapdragon 8 Gen 2, wireless charging, and that improved gimbal camera, that is, which is something to look forward to. Another one is the Nothing Phone 2, which will be shown off on July the 11th, so that's early next month. It's already looking like a busy summer for Android fans everywhere. Let's talk about WhatsApp specifically, because they've shown off a new feature, and also reportedly you might be getting some new bits for the incredibly popular instant messaging app. So firstly is WhatsApp Channels, which is a new tool, a new feature in WhatsApp where you could, get access to updates and information about the topics you're into or the places or in things, really. It's kind of like a group, except you can't really reply, or your number will not be visible to everyone in the group, or folks cannot message a number through the group and again spam you with forwarded messages. So basically, it's kind of like similar to broadcast channels on Instagram, or the Telegram channel, which is like a group where you share, where admins kind of share updates and information and things like that. And folks who sort of sign up or join the group, their number won't be shared to the admins or, for example, to other users. So that's pretty cool in a way. And it's a very easy way to, again, communicate and keep everyone in the loop about what's going on. And fun fact, you can even find a WhatsApp channel and sort of join it from the search tab. So that's pretty cool if you think about it. And also, you can join a WhatsApp channel from, you know, invite links if you send them online or share them through email or through a WhatsApp message. So that's pretty cool. And but interestingly, this WhatsApp channels are not going to be end-to-end encrypted by because of just the nature they are. But in the future, they could have encryption if it's necessary. So that's pretty cool in a way. And yeah, the messages that are on the WhatsApp channel can be kept up to 30 days. But you have the option to keep them forever or have them disappear a little bit quickly. And even block screenshots and forwarding. So this is very useful. And it's a very useful feature, and I definitely think a lot of people would find this handy, because WhatsApp groups are fun to manage, but it gets a little ridiculous when people forward and start, messaging, communicating a lot on these groups, sort of. So this is a welcome change. This is a new feature that I think a lot of people find handy, let's say that. And then another one on top of everything is again, some new bits and bobs coming to latest version of WhatsApp. Firstly is some improved UI tweaks, let's just say, on top of the bottom icon, the tray, sort of where your calls, your messages or status are kept. That's obviously moving from the top if you have Android to the bottom, like on iOS, because now Android phones have a simple sort of gesture to press and you go home. Or you just press a little button and, now it's all gestures and there's no physical home button keys on the interface. So now they've moved it to the bottom. So that's interesting. Another one is they're now following Material Design 3.0. And that also means that the options buttons, the tabs kind of are now circular. A little similar to iOS, let's just say that. So again, they complement the visual language of Material Design 3.0. So that's pretty interesting in a way. It's a small thing, but it'll definitely go a long way. Another one that is going to be more useful for people, and it should be coming fairly soon, and it's come in both the iOS and Android betas for WhatsApp, is video notes. Not voice notes, but video messages, basically. So you can either use your profile picture or, again, take a video of yourself and, again, communicate what you're saying. Basically, it's a voice note, but video. And you can share a short video up to 60 seconds, and it's going to be this round circle in the chat. So that's pretty interesting in a way. It's a little different from taking WhatsApp videos, where you're essentially taking as long as the video you can. And speaking of which, also another thing that came in the beta, interestingly, is the ability to send higher res photos. So there's going to be, in the beta it was revealed, if you took a photo or video, you can send an HD version of the picture, and that'll have slightly less compression, but it'll be heavier in size. That's, if you use WhatsApp, it's going to be definitely a fun update. It'll be a fun update, let's just say that, when it does come out. It's in beta right now, so this means that they are planning to roll it out eventually. But yeah, it'll be a very, very useful feature if you think about it that way. It's going to be fun, let's just say that. I can't wait for these new features on WhatsApp, that is. All right, finally, one thing I want to touch upon is a fun sort of new product that's kind of come out, is Dbrand. They're kind of known for offering customization for your favorite devices, for your iPhones, for your Galaxies, and you can sort of get skins and wraps and even cases and sort of make it yours and really add a bit of self-expression to your devices. And they launched a new product, which is again a sort of a twist on their dark plates, let's just say that, which are sort of the cover, third-party covers for the PlayStation 5. So if you have the PlayStation 5, you could pop out the covers and change them to give it another look and not make it bland and white. And now Dbrand's launched a new version of their dark plates, but it's retro-themed, transparent color. Comes in three different obnoxiously wonderful colors, transparent blue, purple, orange, and black. Blue, orange, purple, and black. So these are four variants, and it costs like $100. And they're pretty cool, let's say that. And the description of the product's very, very funny, pretty much. And that is, and I'll read it from their website here. Quote, June 15, 2023. It's 5:31 p.m. It's actually 5:35 p.m. when recording, so kind of uncanny here. It's 5:31 p.m. You're doing some online shopping, and a company called Dbrand is selling retro dark plates for a PlayStation 5. Their translucent colors remind you of your old N64. As you read the page, your mind drifts back to happier times. You remember your friend Steven. You haven't spoken to him since Jacob's funeral back in 2019. As you consider shooting him a text, your wistful recollections give way to the crushing concerns of the present. So it kind of riffs on, and it's kind of a dark humor. You can find it's a bit dark, but it's this typical Dbrand, and it's a very sarcastic description and ad copy, which is quite brilliant. And I think that's why what I like about Dbrand, kind of they're a little sometimes a little unhinged when it comes to their descriptions and sort of how they present or detail or talk about their products, kind of. And they kind of know why you buy it, because they have a lot of money and you want to, make it look nice when, in fact, you have nothing good to do and you're very bored and stuff. It's very funny, it's pretty much on brand for them. But other than that, it's a pretty cool accessory with the PlayStation 5. if you kind of got the time and a few 30 minutes, you can sort of add a retro flair to a PlayStation 5. So I would suggest you guys check this out. I'll link it in the show notes so you can check it out when you have the time. But yeah, this brings us to the end of this week's episode. What do you think of everything you've heard so far? Let me know. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Sayed_Mawun99. Follow me there if you can. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening right now. Share this to your friends and family. And again, don't forget to leave a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. And again, if you have some thoughts, do leave them below. There's a tab if you're listening on Spotify, so you can click and share your thoughts over there too. But yeah, till next week, this is your boy Mawun signing out. Wherever you are, whatever you're up to, have a wonderful weekend. Take care, and yeah, thank you so much for listening. Ciao.